Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. It's October 21st, 6 o'clock. Welcome to the regular Kerry Beach Town Council meeting. We will begin with an invocation and pledge of allegiance from Pastor Dan Keck, please.
Thank you, Mayor Craig. How's everybody tonight?
Good.
Excellent. I was expecting a full house.
Things are okay.
Smoother at Roger.
When there's a lot of empty seats, it's good news. Great verse from Proverbs chapter 11. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. And as I thought about that, as I, you know, how this verse really speaks to, you know, you guys as a council, really working as a team to really, you know, as you lead this community and, you know, through the challenges and stuff, you know, coming together and, you know, we're going to be successful in all this stuff. So,
thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this, the gifts of leadership of those gathered in this room. Lord, we pray that you would continue to guide them as they would make decisions for the residents who live here, for the visitors who come to vacation here. We would continue to lead us in ways that make this an amazing place to live. This we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor. First order of business is we need to excuse David Hagler, the mayor pro tem. He's at a critical phase of the new plant startup for Corning. May I have a motion to excuse him, please?
Mayor, I make a motion that we excuse Mr. David Hagler from tonight's meeting.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Our mayor pro tem, Mr. David Hagler, is excused for the evening. Approval of the consent agenda. Do I have any changes or questions to the consent agenda that we have to move? Or if not, I would like a motion to accept the consent agenda as proposed.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion we accept the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Consent agenda passes. Mandy. Adoption of the regular agenda. Any changes or additions requested by the commissioners for the regular agenda? If not, I would like a motion that accepts the agenda as offered.
I'll make a motion that we accept the regular agenda for tonight's meeting as outlined in our document.
Second.
All right, we have a motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Discussion and consideration of persons to address council. Mandy, do we have anyone signed up to address council today?
We do.
Okay.
Then
we'll proceed to the presentation from the Wilmington MPO on alternate funding sources for Cape Fear Transportation Plan 2045. And I believe this is Ms. Abby Lorenzo.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to Kerry Beach.
Thank you very much for having me here tonight, Mr. Mayor, commissioners. It's my pleasure to be here. Back in September, the WMPO board tasked staff with going around to our 10 member jurisdictions and giving this presentation. Essentially, it's an update to where we currently are in updating our long-range transportation plan. And what we've tasked the board with doing is considering alternative funding sources to be included within the plan. This information has been given to our board over the course of the past 6 months in different presentations. I've condensed it down tonight. It's for informational purposes so that any additional guidance can be given to Commissioner Allen, so when this item is brought back to the WMPO board in November, the board can direct staff on which of these they would like to ultimately consider. So a brief refresher of our organization. We're a federally mandated organization. It's a federal requirement that any time an urban area exceeds 50,000 people in population, a metropolitan planning organization must be formed. The WMPO area reached that status in 1978. Our outline of our boundary is in blue. We represent the jurisdictions of the city of Wilmington, Carolina Beach, Wrightsville Beach, Cary Beach, unincorporated New Hanover County, Leland, Belleville, Navassa, portions of unincorporated Brunswick County, a portion of unincorporated Pender County. And on our board, we also have representation from the Cape Fear Public Transportation Authority and the NCDOT for transportation. We provide transportation planning services for the greater Wilmington area. It's approximately 494 square miles, and we serve a population of around 280,000. Being a federally mandated organization, we have several federal requirements, perhaps the most important of which is we are federally required to adopt and maintain a long-range transportation plan. This is known as the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. A few requirements of that plan is it must be updated and adopted every 5 years. It has to have a minimum planning horizon of 20 years, and it must be fiscally constrained. Most importantly, when the WMPO goes ahead and submits projects to NCDOT for prioritization for consideration of program and funding, that project must be within our adopted Metropolitan Transportation Plan. So it's a very important plan. Also, in order for a project to receive federal funding, it must be within this plan. So talk some more about fiscal constraint and what it means to be fiscally constrained. Basically, we had to go through a process of estimating how much revenue for transportation projects we expect to come into the region over the life of the plan. We do this by looking at historical funding trends for transportation dollars. There's all kinds of different historical funding sources that have brought transportation monies into our region in the past 10 years or so. Those include the state's transportation improvement plan, local municipal dollars, monies from FTA, the FAA, toll revenues from ferry, as well as federal monies that are flexed through the WMPO. Looking at those trends over the past 10 years, we've projected those forward for 25 years, which is the life of the plan. And essentially on the right-hand side of the screen, you can see the estimated revenue during the life of this plan based on historical funding trends. It comes out to roughly $3.6 billion in transportation funding across all minutes.
Abby, just a quick question. You may not know the answer, and I'm not trying to. Do you know how many miles we have for the $3.2 billion in highway? Is there a forecast for that?
I could get you the miles.
It's okay. I'll get John. Okay. John will work with us, but thank you. I just thought, well, I'm wondering if it might be off the top of your head. I know it includes buying property, and it includes more than just laying the highway. Yeah. I just wondered if there was a forecast at all on the number of miles we expect to get with the $3.2 billion.
So additional roadway miles or improvements just in general to existing annual roadways?
I happen to think we need more roads around here, but that's okay. What the MPO will tell us.
Okay, yeah, I can look into that and pass that information along.
All right.
Commissioner Allen. So the second half of fiscal constraint is we went through the process over the past year of identifying regionally significant projects, transportation projects across all modes. Once we went ahead and did that with the board's acknowledgement, we assigned cross-sections and scopes of work to those modal projects. And then we worked with a consultant to come up with planning level cost estimates for those projects. So having an estimated revenue that is going to be generated over the life of the plan, and then having a list of regionally significant projects with those costs, we're able to essentially see what we can hypothetically afford for the life of this plan. It's no secret that in transportation, there's never enough money. So ultimately, there's a funding gap. The financial forecast, we estimated approximately $3.6 billion over the life of the plan. The total cost of the regionally significant projects was $10.8 billion. So that is approximately a $7.2 billion gap in funding for transportation in our region during the life of this plan. So that leads us into the discussion of, okay, so we know we need these projects. How are we going to come up with $7.2 billion? Probably not going to come up with all of it, but at least we can have discussion on alternative funding. So again, working with a consultant, we had a consultant come up with three different categories of alternative funding sources. They're broken down here. The first one's taxes. There's a few examples of what those look like. Grant and loan programs, which those are project-specific, and similarly financing, which includes bonds and other grants. Those, again, are project-specific. We presented this information to the board, and the board directed staff and consultants to consider the following in both performing forecasts and giving it further consideration. So those are here on the screen. I'm going to read down through them really quickly, and then I'm going to go through some slides and give you some information on each of them.
I think it's important to note they're all use taxes.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't. Unless you're doing those things, you're not going to pay them. So.
With maybe the exception of the bonds, and then yeah, you're not using the toll road.
Now. Quarter cent local optional sales tax, is that on like everything, or is that suggestion on like food and beverage?
So it would be at the discretion of, it's implemented by at a county level, so
okay.
It would be at the discretion laid out by the county. There's the option for a regular sales tax, which can be distributed to the different member jurisdictions, and the county retains the money is collected for the unincorporated areas and it can be spent on county services. Or there's the quarter cent local option sales tax that's specifically for transit. And that can be used for the construction, operation, and maintenance of transit only. So it's specific. But important to know is that during the life of the plan, it's been estimated that if this were implemented, and you hit a county loan, it would be approximately $494 million in additional generated revenue. The vehicle registration fee, again, implemented at a county level, and it can be enabled to up to $7, and again, is used for transit, the construction operation because of that system. And again, looking at New Hanover County, it's estimated that over the life of the plan, generate roughly $32 million. Motor vehicle license tax, both regular and for transit. This could potentially be enacted by a city or town in addition to at a county level. We forecasted for a $5 tax, but it can be up to $30 for different uses. Estimating a $5 tax, $20 million could, we anticipate could be generated during the life of the plan. Vehicle rental tax, this is enacted again at the county level. And this is a tax that's applied to the gross receipt of anyone renting a passenger vehicle. You'll notice that Brunswick and Hunter County both have $0 generated. That's because portions of Brunswick and Hunter County that are within our boundary currently don't have a vehicle rental facility at this time. But for New Hanover County, approximately $29 million can be generated.
Abby, can we back up one?
Sure.
Or two now? Thank you. The blue on the left says motor vehicle license. The little words down in the white lettering says the driver's license. Is that?
They're the same. It was just a table I pulled from Arkansas, so I can amend that.
So which is, is it on the person or is it on the car?
It's on the license.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. So a bicycle registration fee, Back in February of 2019, local representatives submitted House Bill 157. It's been referred to the Committee on Transportation, so it's not currently a law, but essentially it proposes to require anyone 16 or older who owns a bike and rides it to annually register their bicycle. This would be a $10 a year fee, and these fees would be used by NCDOT for bicycle safety-related projects, so like bicycle lanes, multi-use paths, as well as for signage and educational purposes. So in New River County, it was a bit difficult to estimate just how many people own bicycles, but approximately $6 million could be generated from this fee. Municipal transportation bonds, you as a jurisdiction, as well as the county, are eligible to go before and have a voter referendum for bonds. We use the example of the City of Wilmington's 2014 transportation bond. That took $44 million in bonds and leveraged it for $55 million in transportation-related projects. $35 million is going towards roadway improvement projects in the City of Wilmington, and the remaining $20 million towards bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure projects. And then lastly is tolling. NCGS 13689 created the North Carolina Turnpike Authority, which authorized it to study, plan, develop, build, and operate and maintain up to 9 toll projects. Currently within the WMPO's list of regionally significant projects, there's only one that will qualify to be a toll project, and that is the Cape Fear Crossing. It was considered for and is within our adopted 2040 plan. It was estimated that over the life of that plan, approximately $88 million in toll revenue could be generated. So next steps, as I mentioned at the beginning of this presentation, we're going to be taking this item back to the WMPO board, which Commissioner Allen sits on, at the end of November after we've given this presentation to our members. We are going to be asking them which, if any, or all, of these they want considered and applied to keep your moving forward 2045 transportation plan. Once we know what and if there are additional alternative funding sources to be considered, we're going to go back to our regionally significant project list and determine, based on the rank of those projects and the cost of those projects, just how many more we could consider physically constrained within this project. So we're not asking our governing boards to make any decisions on the record. This is purely for informational purposes and for to give you an opportunity to give Commissioner Allen any feedback on what you think should be supported at the WMPO board. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Commissioners, any questions? Some tough ones up there.
So we have the ability to recommend something that's not on the list, right? I mean, we could bring something forward as an idea.
So ultimately, we are really at the end of our plan development. This is kind of the last piece. We have tried to explore over the past year any potential alternative funding sources that there are out there. These are what is remaining from that list that have been explored that the board has asked us to further consider.
If we were to support all of these, Abby, do you want them prioritized? Or just say we support these three or those four or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
So they don't need to be prioritized. Okay. We've had a few governing boards ask us, some of these aren't applicable to our jurisdiction, but what if we want to support that? And our answer has been, if you're going to support them, during that discussion, make sure it's known, hey, this may not be applicable for my jurisdiction, but if that's something you want to support in your jurisdiction, then I support you also. Because really, if you look at these, a lot of these are not going to be applicable, especially the security breach. But, from a regional perspective, what should be considered in this regional plan is what we're looking for.
Okay. All set, gentlemen? Is that it? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Abby, appreciate you coming down here, and feel free to stay or exit, whichever you prefer.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You bet. Thank you. Anybody want to enter into any discussion on what we've just seen, or we can table it till we can digest the charts until next month, I guess?
Now, the MPO meets on the 20th because of the Thanksgiving week after that.
20th.
So when we're
in the
talking,
afternoon?
Yes, 3 o'clock. Okay. So we've been talking about moving hours, and I know that's an agenda item later, so we would not have probably a November meeting prior to this, unless we just shoot some emails to each other.
Okay. Well, so we'll figure out a way to discuss this probably in detail at a time other than this evening, after you have a chance to digest what we think the impacts might be for this. Okay. All right, discussion and consideration of community business. Community center, not present. Marketing committee, not present this evening. Shoreline access, no report. Planning and zoning commission.
Short presentation.
Chairman Craig Galbraith, thank you.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity for a quick update here. If you remember, at the beginning of back in September or so, we have two interns from UNCW. Miss Gloria Abbott is the intern for planning and zoning. Her charge is basically to look at sustainability and green issues, and of course, she's been doing that reporting to the Planning and Zoning Commission for the last 4 or 5 months ago. Several months ago, we discovered that probably the epitome of looking at sustainability for a community is what is called the LEED certification. So I want to spend a little bit of time talking about LEED certification. Both Gloria and myself have had a chance to talk to the director of LEEDs, and I'm going to suggest that we move in a certain direction. Planning and zoning does not have an official position on this. We probably would next month based upon what the feedback from the council is right now. Anyway, this is LEEDs for cities and communities. You may know LEEDs as a building certification process for green buildings. They have expanded as of 2018 when they combined with what's called the STAR process for cities to look at sustainability for cities and communities. So the advantages for Kerry Beach for getting involved in the LEED for cities and communities is one, it provides a systematic process for evaluation and planning related to sustainability issues. It assists in updating the Kerry Beach land use planning process, which I think we'll probably embark on in the very near future. Certification by LEEDs would signal Kerry Beach at a national level. And certification will also be a very important aspect in terms of tourism and advertising for resident involvement, that sort of thing. So again, this is a very short presentation. Yes. So anyway, these are the categories that LEEDs for cities is looking at. They're looking at safety, looking at health, inclusiveness, smart, productive, efficient, equitable, sustainable, responsive, and resilient. The way that they do that is, again, these are the program goals of LEEDs, to inspire leadership, transformation, innovation, and urban sustainability, to protect biodiversity and regenerate ecosystem services, meet and exceed net zero carbon, energy, waste, and water, achieve livability, and then raise the standard of living and quality of life for humans around the globe. Of course, they have to put that in because it is a global organization. They have certification of cities throughout the world right now. These are the categories that they look at. They look at ecology, natural systems, transportation, land use planning, water efficiency, energy and greenhouse gas emissions, materials and resource, quality of life, innovation, and then regional priorities. I know this is a fairly busy one. This is actually a scorecard, and you can see that they give different points for the different categories. And as you break it down, you have these different categories, and you have subcategories underneath it. And then underneath those, you have a number of different things that you look at, each one getting points, half a point, point, so forth. So these are the various categories right here. Again, they're primarily sustainability and livability type of categories. Let me go to this. It is a data-driven and performance-based process. So again, you get a score in each one of the categories. If you're certified, you can put this, you know, certification type of process up on the webpage. You can compare your score against other communities throughout the United States and so forth. And you know, the whole idea is to have an ongoing process of improvement related to these different type of categories. One of the categories, which is I spent a fair amount of time talking with the director on, is the idea of measuring resilience. That's a key issue, obviously, for a coastal community like Curie Beach. So I thought I'd just spend a little bit of time looking at some of the categories that they look at, these subcategories related to this particular category for the LEADS process. So the resilience framework is looking at risk and resilience assessment, community resilience capacity, housing, health, economic, social connectedness, access and functional needs, community planning, ecosystem and natural resource resilience, and infrastructure systems resilience. This is, again, very kind of quick and dirty looking at the scoring process in terms of the sort of things that you look for. You get 2 points in this particular category, for example, vulnerability and capacity assessment, and they have a number of different categories related to each one of these that that you look at, and they would assess in terms of our ability and resilience related to these different categories. For example, I thought it was kind of interesting, conduct a formal assessment of impact and doing a risk assessment. This is interesting because I actually teach a course at the university in risk assessment and crisis management, these sort of things. So this is a kind of very interesting component in terms of asking communities to do a formal risk assessment and following procedure related to risk assessment and crisis management.
Craig, are these assessments we would do ourselves, or do we need engineering firms?
They have a very strong consulting, and I'll get to it. They actually have a manual for each one of these categories right there, but they have a very, very strong support system to assist. But primarily, it's a bottom-up type of process. You know, they provide the framework, the guidelines, the consulting support, but it is a bottom-up process in terms of providing the information. Okay, here's another 2 points. Here's a resilience plan. Develop a resilience plan for the city or community. Should be at least two of the following requirements. If you meet these requirements, you get 2 points and so forth. I think there's a total of 4 points that you can get out of resilient planning, because again, this is simply one category of the various categories. As you can see right here, I know this is very busy, but they actually have a guideline, a very lengthy guideline and manual for each one of these categories right there. So it's just not something, say, we'll measure resilience. They have a whole bunch of different categories here. This is the category and the guidelines and the manual for looking at resilience and how to measure resilience and do resilience planning for a particular community. Eligibility, LEED for cities. They actually have LEED for communities, which really wouldn't apply here. Most of the LEED certified cities are fairly large, if not very large right now. And so they actually look at communities within, and you can get LEED certified, say within Chicago, a community within Chicago. For Curie Beach, the size of Curie Beach, it'd be a LEED for cities. So it'd be the city itself. Eligibility is the primary applicant, is the governing body or the town council here, obviously, for Curie Beach. Their engagement, the process of doing it is you do register. It is an online process, review the rating system, tools, and resources. You gather, report the data, and obviously have very strong consulting and support process for you related to that. You submit the data for certification, celebrate your recognition, and I would say there is a degree of celebration, certainly if you do get certified, and then continuously improve. That's a very important process that they want you to improve every year to, you know, get a higher score and become better in terms of the sustainability and capabilities related to the sort of things that they're looking at. Active LEED for cities and communities, you can see it's primarily in the United States, but it is international right there. They have a total of 99 certified. Again, this just started last year when they merged with the STAR organization. 99 certified, total of another 58 registered, 4 pre-certified, so they have a total of 161 projects right now. In the United States, this is where they're located. You can see about 4, I believe, in the state of North Carolina right now. I believe Winston-Salem, Raleigh, Chapel Hill. There's one other community in the state of North Carolina, I believe, that are certified. They have a number in Florida. Obviously, Florida, as you can look right there, and the panhandle, but the bottom part of the peninsula. The effort of resilience, and what I mentioned to the director that we're from coastal North Carolina, they certainly jumped on the idea of resilience and how they work with that. The smallest community right now, this is what has got them excited about working with Curie Beach. is we would be the smallest community within the Leeds organization right now. The smallest that they have certified is Atlantic City, which I think they said is about 14,000 people in Atlantic City. So when I mentioned the size of Kiri Beach, they got very excited because they want to extend themselves into smaller communities throughout the United States. As you can see, most of their communities are fairly large communities. The city of San Diego, for example, I think Laguna Beach is in there, Chicago, you know, a number of cities like that. Washington, D.C. is a LEED certified community also. I just showed this one. Franklin, Tennessee is one of their LEED certified. I just thought this was a very interesting downtown picture right there about how they preserve their historic and cultural significance in Franklin, Tennessee, since we're also working on that issue. And there is certainly a tie with some of the LEED issues related to the historic preservation process that we're thinking about doing here in Kiri Beach. So anyway, that's the presentation. I just wanted to kind of bring the update because Ms. Abbott has class tonight and she couldn't be here for the presentation. The major issue is that the normal LEED certification is $5,000 per year to work with LEEDs, get involved, and so forth. When I talked to the director, I said, well, $5,000 is not much for Chicago or for San Diego, but I said, for Kiri Beach, it is. And obviously, I was not in a position to negotiate anything. And so they were very, very anxious to work with Kiri Beach. And so basically they came back and said, well, we would love to work with you. What would be your offer in terms of what you could, you know, maybe contribute?
Well, and we so won't charge them much.
Well, I think they recognize that we would probably come substantially below the $5,000. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think this is something that Duke Power would be interested in maybe funding. But before I get back to them and then go back to the planning and zoning for formal recommendation, I would, one, see if you're interested in maybe pursuing this. I think personally, and I think it was, we did talk about this extensively in the last B&Z meeting. I think there was a lot of excitement about this. $5,000 was out there, and so, you know, like to get maybe feedback, you know, as to what Kiri Beach, if you are interested in pursuing this, what you might be willing to kind of undertake in terms of a commitment, so I could get back to the director. I'm sure if it's something, he would probably say yes, no matter what it is, as long as it's something.
Could you send us that presentation so we could look through it?
Oh, sure.
Do some more research.
In fact, we have enough right
there. Everything I've ever been involved with, when you put LEED on it, that doesn't mean dollar signs. I mean, honestly, if this would have been a LEED building, the architecture and the cost for bringing it up, that certification, is rather expensive. And community build town halls and recreation centers and other places and make them LEED certified because that's what their community wants, but they also have ample resources to pay for that type of service. So.
Well, there would be, certainly my opinion is there's a lot of enviable and good things up there to work on.
Yeah.
The questions that before I would really push in one direction or another, my questions would be, one, the cost. You've kind of said $5,000 or less per year,
yes,
every year.
And I'm familiar with LEED building too.
Yep.
UNCW has, I think, 6 LEED buildings, and they're fairly costly.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, with 44 people staff, I don't know what the work effort is to maintain it. And that's why it would be interesting. It may be things we already do, and maybe we have to do them a little differently, or maybe we need to do them with a more concerted set of goals or something. I'm not sure I totally understand this, but I would like to read through it.
Sure. And what I would recommend, and we're very aware of that type of issue too, is that it's a year-by-year process. So, you know, we do it for 1 year and see what it is. If anything, just to get their idea about what the program and the process is, so we can do it internally. You know, we don't have to continue it after that. But, you know, I think a 1 year experiment on this would be very good. I'm pretty sure that this could be done by a UNCW intern in terms of collecting the data. I'm 99.9% sure that Gloria would continue on as an intern, or if not, I could get another Master's of Public Administration intern to be the primary driver of this for the PMC for next year, you know, for the year that we're going to do this. My sense about talking to them is that this is not like LEED's building certification where they have a number of standards to get mm-hmm. green, that can become a gold building or a silver building. You know, this is very much of what used to be called STAR, which is more of an active involvement of trying to think about a community being more sustainable and not requiring buildings and the cost associated with this. It's more data collection, program processes, and that sort of thing.
Well, your one-year idea is certainly intriguing.
Yeah.
So give us an opportunity to read through
and
get back to
it. The sooner I can get back to him, he is very anxious to get started mm-hmm. and work with us. And like I said, I probably could have said free, and he might have said okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my sense is even if it's $500 or $1,000, I think he would probably go with it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you continuing bringing these ideas forward. I do. And we'll take a look at this and see what we can offer.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig.
Thanks, Craig.
Discussion and consideration of department head business. Nancy, vehicle decal mailing.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. I apologize, I didn't put anything in your agenda packet. We changed our process for the emergency re-entry vehicle decals last year from selling them for $5 each throughout the year, mailing two free ones to each property owner. We did that in January on the water bill for January. We raised the price for anyone who wanted to purchase additional ones, such as renters, short-term renters of out-of-state property owners wanted to raise that. We also had renters in the property to $20. In my opinion, it went very smoothly this year. The town hall certainly wasn't bogged down with a lot of decal sales at the last minute of Hurricane Dorian, but we also closed early in support of the fact that we were going to sell decals later than July 31st. That was another part of the change. So for us, it was much easier to get prepared and be ready, get to the bank, all the types of things that we needed to do. So it's about time to do that again, and I just wanted to check with council on what your opinion was and if you want to continue with this process or if you wanted to talk about doing something different.
Commissioners, any feedback?
Are we good at the cutoff date? What was it? July?
July 31st.
You're happy, y'all happy with that?
Yeah, I think that works well.
Okay. And the cost?
We didn't really hear any complaints about the cost, too.
I'd go another year as we did.
Yeah, another year. Why not?
Yeah, I agree.
I agree, Nancy. I think the program, as designed, worked well. We will do that again. We will close and make sure our priorities are on the work that needs to get complete and not on pushing out decals when we're preparing for a major storm. So may I have a motion to continue the program with the free decal mail out in the still want to do it the first month? So we did last year? We mailed them out in January? Or
I think that would work. One advantage of including the water and sewer bill with the mailing was the fact that was in a way proof that it was sent out because there were a number of people that said they never got them. And you could comment about, well, did you get your January water and sewer bill? Yes. Then they went back and looked and, okay, yes, oh yeah, they are. So it actually had a little bit of a benefit. The downside is it raises the cost of mailing.
Yeah. But there was a little bit of training this year, too. I think a lot of people will look for it.
I mean, do we need to offset the cost of the other stickers to help offset that? You know, do we need to raise the price of the other stickers to offset the cost of mailing it out?
I don't think we could probably raise it high enough to offset the cost, really. So.
I mean, I thought it worked pretty well last year. I'll make a motion that we continue the decal plan or the mailing as we did last year.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Nancy, thank you. Building Inspections Department. John?
You see what's on the agenda there. I'd like to welcome Bethany White to the town. She's been with us for about 30 days now, and part of her responsibilities are code enforcement, and as such, she should be sworn in as a public officer of the state. And so, Mr. Mayor, I appreciate if you do that honor for her.
I would do that. Would you just tell the audience some of the background that Bethany has that I think it actually, there's two items I think are pretty impressive. So, her industry and her service to the country.
Bethany is in the Air Force Reserves, has served over 20 years. She's also a resident of Vero Beach for how many years?
Four.
4 years. She'll be retired from the Air Force pretty soon. Anyway, happy to have her.
And I think she's part of the insurance industry. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Right. Which, when we're dealing with loss, is an add. Bethany, would you please come up front?
Yep.
Front center. All right. I can see you. Okay. Bethany, this is a holy Bible. Would you put your right hand on it, please? Okay. If you would repeat after me, I state your name.
I, Bethany White.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, maintain, and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States.
Do solemnly swear that I will support and defend, maintain, and defend the Constitution and the laws of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of North Carolina.
And the Constitution and laws of North Carolina.
Not consistent therewith.
Not inconsistent therewith.
That I will faithfully execute the duties of my office.
That I will faithfully execute the duties of my office.
As code enforcement officer for the town of Curie Beach.
As code enforcement officer for the town of Curie Beach.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Bethany,
you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Finance Department. Anything?
I just have one thing. I would have put this in the consent agenda, but I wasn't aware of it in time to get it in, I guess. But it, I guess, would be there was a federal disaster declaration on October 4th that includes New Hanover County related to Hurricane Dorian. So with that, part of the process, I guess, for us to potentially get some reimbursements for some of the costs we incurred, we need to assign like a primary agent and a secondary agent to represent the town. So in the past, I did that along with Karen Gilley, who works for me as the secondary agent. So I guess the question is whether you want me to serve in that role again, or would prefer if someone else did.
I couldn't think of a better person to do.
Are you sure?
Yes. Well, you're the finance guy. You got the numbers.
But part of that then is you actually have to approve this resolution that
okay.
We submit to the state then. So I'll just give you a copy of that. It's a standard form from the Division of Emergency Management.
Thank you, Alan.
So we can just adopt this by reference, or do you need to read the whole?
I would hope just by reference.
Yeah. Andy, do you have a copy of this?
Yes.
Okay. All right, may I have a motion accepting the primary and secondary agents as identified on the resolution?
I'll make a motion that we accept Arlen Copenhaver as the primary agent and Ms. Karen Gilley as the secondary agent on a resolution for designation of our applicant's agent for the town of Curie Beach for the disaster known as Dorian.
A second.
Okay, motion and second. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Pass. Thank you, Alan. Fire Department, Mr. Kennedy, Chief Kennedy.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, thank you for your time. I actually have a couple additional items above and beyond what's on the agenda there for department head business. First up is we had our open house two Sundays ago, and that was a very large success. We had anywhere from 400 to 500 people show up, mostly kids. They really enjoyed the smokehouse that we had set up, as well as spraying water on the side. So that was a great event for the community. It was a great way for us to kick off Fire Prevention Week and really open our doors to the community as well to share the new building. So that was a very large success. Secondly, we completed our annual physical. Every year we do a department physical, in which it's free for the firefighters to take. It's also a requirement for their fit for duty. You have the summary in front of you. Overall, as Alan stated, even though everyone is a year older, our department actually got a year and a half younger. So we've taken on quite a few young guys, which is great. We're lighter, we're leaner, we're stronger and healthier. So I think we definitely owe it to the new facilities that we have, the awesome gym that we have. So I'd like to thank Council for the support that you guys have shown for our employees and through the creation of our new facilities that we have over there as well.
And thanks for the leadership who's using it.
Next up, our volunteer board met a couple weeks ago as well. And we have decided that we, as a volunteer organization, are going to move forward with the Junior Firefighter Program. There was a little snafu with the insurance where North Carolina League of Municipalities would not cover juniors. We actually found an insurance provider, which is BFIS, to cover them. It comes at a cost of about $100 a child. And we're looking to do anywhere from 4 to 6 children between the ages of 14 and 18. Volunteer firefighters Bill Ferris and Brian Bass, as well as John Batson, have stated that they would like to sponsor a child, so I think that's phenomenal. But we hope to have the program up by Memorial Day of 2020, and I'll certainly work with Arlen on making sure that the insurance is appropriate and the program is in line with what we need as a community. So hopefully we'll have the program up and running by Memorial Day and have anywhere from 4 to 6 children between the ages of 14 and 18, young adults. I think it would be a great way to capture the youth in Kirby Beach and possibly bring them on as volunteers as they turn 18 as well. And then lastly, included in the agenda packet was a fairly, I believe, long summary of a new ranking structure that we have completed within the fire department. It's about a year and a half old. I don't know, did you guys want me to go in depth onto that, into the actual the summary of what was provided? Did everyone have an opportunity to read that?
No. I have read through this in all the detail. I think maybe if you just summarize it, Ed, like you did the other day, just say, what are you trying to do and why are you trying to do it?
Yeah, certainly. So in summary, the new ranking structure that we have, that we're trying to achieve is, it's a way to, one, clearly define all the operational responsibilities and roles on emergency incidents. It's a way that we can clearly define the operational responsibilities in the workplace, so not just on emergency incidents, but around the firehouse, when the public comes up, that sort of thing. It's also a way to establish a means of providing a community of trained individuals, not just on the first out engine with paid staff, but also with volunteers that come to the firehouse and backfill for either the second out resource or the additional call as well. So, you know, gone are the days of where someone could walk into a firehouse and be given the keys to the fire engine and just drive to any call. So there's certainly liabilities there and risk. And we have moved forward as a professional organization that, you know, if you're in the officer seat, you're expected to have the knowledge of an officer. And if you're in the driver's seat, you're expected to have the knowledge and certifications to not only drive firefighters to the scene in an efficient manner, a safe manner, but to also operate the pump in a very high-stress situation where you have firefighters inside of a building on a charge fire hose, as well as a firefighter as well. So what we've done is we've taken our ranking structure and tried to identify educational requirements, certifications, and roles in which we feel are applicable to Curry Beach and the size of our organization, and attach that to a particular rank. So as you saw in the packet I have included, that is our actual rank and our rank structure and promotional process. So obviously you come in the door as a probationary firefighter. And after a year, you have to either complete your Fire 1 and 2, which is a North Carolina state certification. It's a 312-hour course. Or you complete what we have created as a task book. Once you have done that, it's the equivalent of 312 hours as well. Once you have completed that, then you can move on to either an exterior or interior firefighter, which we have further stringent requirements for our interior firefighters. And then obviously, engineer would be the next step, where an engineer is the driver as well as the engineer of the pumps on the fire ground. And then it goes up to lieutenant, then captain, and of course assistant chief, deputy chief, and fire chief. But it's important to note that out of our department of 40 members, we only have two members currently that hold the rank above firefighter, both of which are in their 70s and plan to leave in the near future. So this is also a way to recognize a void in leadership on our volunteer side and a way to make achieving a certain rank attainable, as well as provide the community with those types of firefighters.
Ed, I would have, as I went through this, had two quick questions, if I would. One is, first of all, your rank structure belongs to you as the chief. It's up to us to determine, if you would like to do that, how we can support you with the money necessary to do it. But does this impact our rating in any way? If we don't do it, or if we do it, does it go up or down, or is there any benefit other than the fact that we certainly want, when guys are in a burning structure, that the guy on the pump knows what he's doing and making sure they have water?
That's right. Yeah, this actually will have no reduction in our ISO rating. And okay.
So no impact on the ISO.
That's right. And it's also important to note that any reduction in our ISO rating will not improve insurance rates for the residents of Curry Beach.
Oh, because we're already at the best rate.
That's for residential. If we improve, it will improve commercial insurance rates.
Oh, okay. The other question I have is, as I went through this information, is obviously, to get to these next levels, you have to prepare, you have to train, you have to have the certifications. Do we have a table of organization that says we should have like one lieutenant, two engineers, or whatever, so that people just don't get certified and qualify for additional pay? You have to be promoted into it, I guess, or whatever.
That's exactly right. Like I stated earlier, in a way, it's like the military, the police department. This is industry standard. Of course, you cannot have 15 captains on the same department. Moving forward, we have to look at it every year. The goal is to be able to provide the first out engine, when a fire call comes in, the first out engine with an officer, driver, and firefighter on every single call. Then we would also like to ensure that an officer, driver, and firefighter as volunteers respond to the station 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now I'm not sure how many captains, how many lieutenants, how many drivers it will take to achieve that. But I do know that we have minimum requirements right now, which we have quite a few members that are doing above and beyond that. But I would estimate, as far as officers and drivers, that it may be somewhere between the 4 and 6 mark for each position. It would be something that we would have to obviously take a look at each year in order to be able to achieve the mission, the end goal, which is always be able to provide the first and second call with an officer, driver, and fire.
And this would put you totally in line structurally with all of New Hanover County, the city, Carolina Beach, Wrightsville Beach, yes, everybody else, I think is what I saw here.
That's right. And it's been over 10 years since we've had an adjustment on our volunteer drill pay. And currently, every single person makes the exact same amount for drill pay, no matter your rank. So if you're a deputy chief and you respond at 2 a.m., you're making $12.50. If you're a firefighter and you respond at 2 a.m., you're making $12.50. So it's not a lot. It's an incentive for the younger firefighters that are coming in to say there's something attached to the additional knowledge required certifications that we have clearly defined in the promotional process. And it's in line with, like I said, with everyone in New Hanover County, Chrysler Beach, Carolina Beach, Wilmington Fire Department. These ranks are common in the industry. We just currently do not have them.
To move to this quickly, what is the cost? And I think it's in here, but we should bring it out.
The total cost is right around $25,000. That includes full-time salaries, part-time salaries, the increase in, of course, FICA taxes, 401k, and the additional benefits. What I'm requesting, due to, like I stated earlier, our future void in volunteer leadership, is that we move forward starting January of 2020, which is one half of the total request. Obviously, under the assumption that the other half would come in the upcoming budget year. I've spoken with our town clerk, Nancy Avery, to make sure it's in line with our salary bands. I've also spoken with Arlen to discuss any of the financial implications of it. Obviously, there's a few ways to handle it. One would be, which I had originally discussed with Nancy, of having a split band, which she stated is probably not the best way. Another way would be to provide a stipend, which is similar to what the police department is doing right now. Mm-hmm. Due to the slight differences in it, I'd actually go with what Nancy stated was a recommendation, which is to keep the current members in the same salary band and update the job description, which will clearly define these roles and responsibilities.
Okay. Do you have any questions for what Ed is trying to do here? As a little bit of background, I know Ed, you wanted to add quite a few full-time firefighters. I guess this was about 3 years ago. You were able to do it with a few less and added more volunteers. So when I think of the additional costs that you're talking about, I try to look at it in line with what had been approved 3 years ago, which you actually did not spend, I think. So, any questions, any thoughts? If not, we should come up with a motion to ask Arlen to work with Ed to see what's the best way to finance this and what might be the best timing, and then we can come back. Is this something we can do now? Is this something we should look at in the next budget? I think the chief's desire is to let's get this out there, let's get it going. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Can you absorb it in your, do you have additional funds?
We do not. I spoke with Arlen.
At this point it would take money out of our savings, basically, to do it. I guess one thought, I talked with Ed a little bit about this, too. Is it something better to wait until the next budget cycle, when we also can kind of evaluate something similar for other departments? For example, Public Works, do they have certain certifications that if someone gets that certification, they should have a bump up in pay? So something that would be more consistent amongst all departments, and it also could be evaluated in total rather than just in pieces. Just a thought.
My thought is some degree of compromise. Ed's ready. He's got his certifications process. He's got his table of organization. He's got total number of hours, as I read through this thing, that are required to achieve certain things. I don't know. I know that Jimmy's working on it. Jimmy's not exactly at the point. Of course, he's been a little busier over this holiday. So, but maybe there's something that we can do for the quarter before we go into the budget. $12,000 would be if we did it now, be $6,000 if we did it the last 3 months of the budget year. I mean, I don't know. Take a look at it. Please come back to us with a recommendation. I know what the chief would like to do. I'm listening to him. I want to support him. And you tell me what I can afford to do, and I'm listening to you, and I want to support you. All I need is some. I need some willy room here.
Well, yeah. And I'm right there with you, too, but we, at some point, we got to quit having the increases coming to us mid-budget year and taking money out of our fund balance. We can't take hits over and over again, adding things.
Yes, that's a fair statement.
And I totally support you, Ed, but don't get me wrong there. That's not the case at all, but from the standpoint of protecting our fund balance and not getting into a spending, we got other things that could come up. We're not halfway through the budget year yet.
Yeah, you're right. We're close to halfway. Now, and there is always demands for extra funding. So let's take a look at what Ed and Arlen can come up with,
yeah.
And then we'll get back on this issue. But like I said, I hear you, and I know what you want, and I think we need to get there. Question is, how soon do we get there?
Yeah, I would like to add, as far as the mid-budget year thing, this was included in the presentation, the PowerPoint presentation, yeah. For this current budget year. David had stated that he had breezed over that and wasn't sure that this was exactly what it was, so I apologize if our communication early on in the budget year didn't clearly define this part of that. The only thing else I was going to add is that Carolina Beach is currently hiring three of these exact positions right now. I want to say the hire date sometime around November 31st as well. So that was another main reason for a sense of urgency with this particular request was the potential of losing members to a neighboring department.
And replacement cost is real. I get it. Let's put it all out on the table.
So would you like for me to come back at the November meeting?
Yes, please.
Rediscuss.
Yep.
In each budget, each department head has the salaries, a part-time salary, and a salary adjustment line. That salary adjustment line was added as when we redid the personnel policy. That is to give the department heads the right to build money in there to reward employees who have done over and above, or if they get a certification, they can build that in as part of the budget process. That would work for public works, that would work for the fire department, police, any department. If you know going into it, you might be doing some restructuring, or you have some employees that you're sending for training, or whatever, to give the department heads some kind of leeway to do these things so it's approved as part of the budget cycle. But I think what Ed's saying right now for the rest of this budget year, you need $12,000 in the budget year.
Oh, yes, more than half.
$6 from here until June, but then next year's budget would be almost $24,000.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy. That's helpful.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Police Department.
Mayor, Commissioner, just want to give you an update on
Chief Bowden.
Townwide gas thing that we discussed in the break meeting after Hurricane Florence. We got a quote for $103,000 about 3 months ago. We talked to Arlen, said we need to get an updated quote, which it was happened to be again $103,000. Same thing. We budgeted $110,000 for land and land prep for the gas tank. Just wanted to make sure you guys were still on board and proceed on with the townwide gas tank.
That is a line item in the budget at 110 right now.
It was budgeted at 110. At that, when we first budgeted, we were hoping we would get some grant money. I guess there was a Duke Energy grant that we
We did not get it.
The department applied for it. But when it was budgeted, since that was an unknown, we budgeted that we would
spend it.
Finance the whole thing. So it is budgeted at this point at $110,000 with the offset being $1,000,000.
Okay. So we haven't given up on that. That we still can go after that part of the emergency. We'll keep trying, see if we can get something else on that. As the new emergency funding that has come out of the state on things that can help you deal with your emergencies.
Yeah, I think there's another grant that we're not approved for, so we can't proceed with that particular one.
Oh, okay.
So we've looked at several, and doesn't seem like there's anything out there right now that will help us. We were hopeful on the Duke grant, but it just didn't come through. We just want to make sure you guys were still on board with proceeding on and moving along with the project.
So the citizens are aware of what this is for. This is for a gas tank to make sure that we have fuel for gasoline and diesel for emergency vehicles during a major storm. Some of the communities ran out of fuel. We were hand pumping it to get it out of the Quick Mart. This would eliminate that and make sure that we are not at risk of not having the right type of fuel to keep the generators running, mostly, one, and then to keep the emergency vehicles running in case they're needed. It's in the budget. I don't have any questions unless you gentlemen do. Otherwise, I would say let's get going.
No, let's move forward.
That's the fence around it and everything, the 110?
We hope so. It's the land, getting the surface prep for that, and the bilers, concrete bilers. I think we can do that and the electrical. Jimmy said he thought he could help us with the land and the concrete bilers. The electrical obviously has to be somebody, electrical company, come in and do that. And then the fence up front, not quite sure. We can hopefully work with somebody to get it done.
I like to see it build the fence to look like it's an extension of the building. You know,
that's what we had talked about.
Yeah, that's what we had talked about. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there's this cost savings opportunity here. We would be buying bulk gas and getting it cheaper for all our vehicles, so there are some savings.
Bulk gas, bulk diesel for fire, public works.
Right.
Everybody. So.
Okay, go ahead, Chief. Let's get her going. I'm sorry, Nancy, I did not hear that. Do we need a motion?
I don't think so.
It's in the budget. Yeah. Okay. Public Works. Anything, Jim?
Just a quick update on the water meters. I'm not listening. I'm tired. The water meters are going good. I mean, we've got like 800 and some odd meters installed already. A few complaints, probably. I think we're up to about 17 complaints, you know, guard work and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Also, on the stormwater assessment, I got a hold of Jonathan. Isn't that his name, Jonathan? He's going to meet with me this week, probably Wednesday, and they'll start work either late Friday or first thing next week. But I'll meet with him Wednesday on the stormwater assessment. Okay. We went into a contract with them October 2nd.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So.
Okay.
So that's update.
So both of those are moving forward. Thank you, Jimmy. Guys are all busy.
Can I just with the water meters? Just so we're still working through the process of how we're going to get October bills out. So some parts are looking good. Some other things, not so much. There's what came up today was that some of the readings that Vanguard took on the old meters, they left a digit off. So it's throwing off trying to calculate the bills. So we think we know what the problem is. And it's just going to be a manual effort just to do it for all the instances that they left one digit off. So.
If we think we will have an impact relative to, since we bill by more use, more bills, if we think we're going to have an impact in any area, let me know. I'll get something out to the community.
Yeah, we should not, I think. As long as we can get past this one issue, we'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, we just one little hiccup that happened.
Well, if there's only one hiccup, we're lucky.
Also, I guess we did a trial run with the water meters and stuff, what was installed, and only three came up that was unreadable. And two of them were, it was submerged in water, and one of them was one of the irks that fell over, so.
Okay.
I mean, you read 600 meters in 45 minutes is pretty nice.
Yeah. Good. Recreation Department. Nikki, anything?
Nothing tonight.
Okay. No more film projects?
No.
Okay.
I will say they had their Halloween event for pets over at the dog park, and I thought it was well attended until it started raining.
It got rained out, so it ended early, but yeah, it was good attendance for the first hour.
Staff was dressed up in Halloween.
Oh, I would have loved to see
it
that.
It was worth that to go see that.
Yeah, I'd like to see how Sean was dressed. Okay. Discussion and consideration of old business. Readdress the stormwater contract to include Area A. Mr. Whitley, what is on your mind?
Yes, we talked about this at the last meeting, and we made the decision to go with Area B. I think we need to look back at Area A. Of course, a citizen came to us in April with some issues that they had during Florence. If this gets pushed out, we're going to cover all the areas over time, but a couple reasons I feel we need to go ahead and get, at least do the due diligence on Area A to find out what we're up against. If we have to go any further with perhaps getting some help from across the river, I think we need to strike now while we have a very open line of communication with them before there's any changes in August. And also, if this we do Area B, and that takes 4 to 6 months, then we tack that on at the end of it, 4 to 6 months. By the time we get back to Area A, we're back in hurricane season again next year. And at that point, you're looking at well over a year and a half of from Florence, and over a year from when a citizen came to approach us. I would like to at least know what's going on in that area going forward as quickly as we can, so we can make any type of decision we need to.
So are you talking about phase one and phase two, or just phase one?
Just phase one, the $21,000.
$21,000.
Yeah, let's just find out what we're up against. And Arlen has said there is money in the stormwater budget. And he's going to correct me.
There are funds there. We don't have an excess of funds.
Yeah, correct. We are.
We have a fund balance in stormwater of about $270,000, which may sound like a lot. But
it's not.
I mean, a few years ago we had close to $1 million. We spent it on some very important and significant projects, so the money can go quickly. And you know, one concern is if there is a storm with Hurricane Matthew. I guess we ended up spending about $175,000 to repair the stormwater outfall at the beach. So we eventually got that money back from FEMA, but we had to put that.
Takes 8 months.
Up front and wait for reimbursement. So it's just one concern if something major were to happen, you know, and how much we spend down our fund balance.
Was not one of the concerns of Area A and the nice folks that came forward the fact that the ditches out toward the river were backing up, causing Area A to back up? And we now agreed to have the ditches worked. So would not that maybe just potentially be part of the solution to Area A after we get the ditches done? Then the analysis would be further out. I agree, if we have a storm, we may have backup in that area, but.
I mean, initially that was my particular thought, as you have stated, that instead of spending money studying, let's spend money to clear ditches. And but The only thing that is really intriguing about the LSDI, I think the name of the firm is, or LDSI, is that that area has the most significant planning cost. And I really, for the life of me, don't know why it would, because it's principally driven through the ditches. And I don't know if we should speak to them about it, and maybe we can bring that cost down or what.
It might be the size of the area.
It's area.
It's the area that
has the most houses also.
We obviously have an issue there in just how the water is either getting to the ditch or whether the ditches can accommodate the water going through. And we're only going to get that when we have a study.
Did we have a study in 2007 when we did that previous work? Do you remember it at all, Jimmy?
2007 was 1 year before my time, sir.
Yes, there was a study, and then we didn't have a problem for a while. I know we had 30 some inches of rain. We had a big problem.
And we had a project there. I think at least the loan for that was in 2005. The project was done in the Cutter Court area.
And that was, what did we do there? We put in additional drainage, or?
I'm not really sure, actually.
Well, the five of us, including Mr. Hager, or four of us and Mr. Hager, we did the analysis after we walked the ditches.
Yeah.
After take a look at them and
Mr. Mayor
took pictures and decided this was a bad spot and that one's clear for a long ways. And
I think when they do this, they would do some type of topographic study to see what are the low points, how much water's flowing through them, is there enough collection area, and does that collection area then move the water in enough detail?
Mr. Mayor.
Jim,
were you around there?
Unfortunately, what happened was all new piping was put underground from the center of Settlers cul-de-sac down the center of Cutter Court. So it was all brand new. Piping that was put underground, and it had to be oval, not round, because of the groundwater. So it was extra expensive piping. Mm. It was close to $1 million.
Was it oval like an eye, or is it like this, or like this oval?
Depended on how they put it in the ground.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So
it was over the flat place.
Yeah. I just want to make sure.
Jim, doesn't a lot of water comes from the street on the other side of you, doesn't it?
Well, Cutter Court gets water from Settlers.
Yes, that's from the north side, but you get water coming over from the south end too, don't you?
The drainage is supposed to go south.
Well, I know. That's once it gets to the drainage system, it goes south.
Yeah. Even when the Cutter Court project went, we didn't have the problem that we now have on Sloop Point, however that started. Sloop Point wasn't anywhere near that bad.
I think we have a little bit of maybe studying to do. I mean, I'm not adverse to moving in a direction if we can understand what precisely has to do. I mean, you gentlemen weigh in. You're all going to have to, if we do something here, you got to vote on it. So let's hear how you feel. I know how you feel, Joe.
And David sent an email out today in agreement, as long as
we have money.
Yeah,
yeah.
As long as we have money.
Well, that's my concern again, the money. Yeah. But we do have money in the stormwater fund to pay for this, for the $21,000.
Mm-hmm.
It may limit what we do down the road, but we're going to come to this conclusion at some point.
Yeah, we have to do all this study at some point, but I just think we need to move this part, advance it several months.
Well, these are the only two, well, there's three pieces. There you see also has a piece of Matsu.
Yeah.
That's berms and everything else. Where are you, gentlemen?
I'm with it with money. I don't think anything has changed. I have heard no new information that would have me change my vote from last month when we agreed as a body to not do Area A. But if we've got the money, and I guess I would defer to Mr. Copenhaver, then we can add the Area A into the analysis if it's not going to bankrupt us.
Arlen.
$21,000 isn't going to bankrupt us. I mean, again, my concern is not spending down the fund balance too much further.
And but we have to have that conversation pretty rapidly.
Right. At some point in the near future, you know, we need to talk about stormwater fees, I guess, in regard to, in particular, what the long-term plan is for future.
Didn't we just raise stormwater fees? No.
2012.
So, Jimmy, they haven't started the actual part, what we voted on last month. They haven't had.
No, sir. I'll meet with them this week.
I saw some guys looking at some, I must have been DOT out there in the street earlier today. They're talking about how long is it going to take them to do Area B?
All depends. It could be up to 6 months.
And I just think
since you haven't started since last month, it might be closer to 6 months, right?
So, well, will they put more people on it if we authorize them A also? They do A and B together?
Sir, I can't answer that unless I bring this right to them. Right. You know.
Well, yeah. We certainly aren't going to pay them unless we see some results. Some results or some feedback that says here's what we found out. So it sounds to me like Joe, you're sponsoring this. If you want to make a motion,
I make a motion that we what would be the right way to say this? That we
add to
the existing contract to do include Area A for the $21,000 for what was the proper term? Inventory and assessment.
Okay, we have a motion. Do I have a second?
Don't jump up and down, gentlemen. Come on.
Do I have a second? Joe, I'll second your motion. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
I'm sorry.
It was 4-0.
So
okay.
I abstained.
You can't. I'm sorry.
Yeah, actually, you can't, John. You have to go yes or no.
Yeah, one way or the other.
Can you abstain?
I vote no.
Okay.
So you're the first person to vote no.
But David
voted yes.
Motion carried.
I mean, does his vote by his letter count?
I don't think so.
Jimmy, if you could find out for us, just for a matter of information. You know, we add the second part on, would they bring in more people or the same people that's going to fall in line, you know, how long would that come to do?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, if you could find any of that information, I'll forward that to us just so we can know how what we're looking about as a progression with this.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
Are we finished with that one?
I think so.
All right. So discussion and consideration of new business. Reschedule of the November meeting. In private and separate talks with each of you, I think we've come up with the fact that since I will not be in the area, actually in the state, for the next meeting, I would like to move it to November 20th if that meets schedules. I believe in the discussions that it did, that is a Wednesday meeting.
I'm good with that.
You okay with that? Okay.
Make a motion that we move the November meeting to Wednesday, November the 20th at 6 p.m.
Second.
All right. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Meeting so moved. Mayor updates. First thing I wanted to bring up is we have a request from individuals in town to look at concealed carry weapons. Now, it just so happens that there is a statewide uniformity statement where they say it is the intent of the General Assembly to prescribe a uniform system for the regulation of legally carrying a concealed handgun. To ensure uniformity, no political subdivisions, boards, or agencies of the state, nor any county, city, municipality, municipal corporation, town, township, village, or any department or agency thereof may enact ordinances, rules, or regulations concerning legally carrying a concealed handgun. A unit of local government may adopt this permit by posting the prohibition against carrying a concealed gun, handgun, in accordance with General Statute 14-4.15-11-C on local government buildings and their premises. Now, so this is a state statute that is used by the county, by the city, and I believe most of the municipalities in the area, and it is a state document, state driven. If we wish to look at this, and it would have to be exactly as the state says, however, we can reduce the footprint of what we wish to look at. We cannot increase the footprint. It would require an ordinance. An ordinance would require a public hearing. A public hearing on this subject should not necessarily be overly interesting because it is a state statute and it's consistent and already in place across the other governments in our locale. If we are interested in looking at this, I would suggest that Chief Bowden talks to the attorney on what such an ordinance may look like in what type of area we would like to see this constrained, which I believe would only be internal inside our own structures, I guess.
Just town buildings.
Town
hall, police department.
No town parks.
Fire department, community building. And
okay. So.
Just those buildings, no parks, no sidewalks, nothing. Just buildings only.
Okay. What's the will of council on this?
Well, this is nothing new. This has been a state law for several years.
Oh yeah, a long time.
Long time, and most county and municipal buildings fall under this or have adopted this. I don't know why we never did, but I mean it's been a good while, probably pre 2000, early 2000s. Andy, do you know the date?
Yeah.
It was back
several years.
It's almost 20 years, I'm sure. So I'd be in favor of it for going forward with it.
Joe?
As long as it's buildings only, I'm fine with it.
John?
No reason not to.
Let's have a motion to have the chief take a look. Or do I need a motion to do that, Nancy, or can I just ask Chief Bowden to work with the attorneys to come up with something, a recommendation? I'm sorry. I should ask the attorney. I'm sorry. Do I need a motion for that, Andy?
No, I don't think so. You just direct us to do it, and we'll do it, and you can work on it when we have the meeting.
Okay, Mike.
Or whatever.
Okay, Mike, you got the ball. We'll look at it next month. I've had several notes on signage at crosswalks based on the new things we have set up in Carolina Beach right now. We've talked about crosswalks quite a bit. I feel you gotta look both ways. It's the only sentiment you really got to protect yourself. But people have been asking if that is something that we would look into. I don't even know the costs associated with that. I'm talking about just the sign, not the blinking lights and all the other stuff.
Is that something DOT will do?
DOT had to approve that, right?
I'm sure they have to approve it. It only goes on the crosswalks, and we only have a few crosswalks, but they do catch your eye. But there are no guarantee of safety.
Because you have to look out for them when you're texting and driving.
When you're texting and driving, you got to be careful not to miss them, yeah.
I mean, I'd be in favor of looking into what it costs and whether DOT would do it. Because, you know, that's a state-maintained road. So if it increases awareness and... You sure see the crosswalks now when you go to Carolina mm-hmm. Beach?
Yeah, you can. So, matter of fact, makes you slow down a little bit.
It does.
So, Chief, could you take a look at that?
Yes,
or work with Mandy or whoever you think you need to work with to take a look at what that would require with DOT, with Nancy, Mandy. Okay? I had a task to talk about call-in pay. We did discuss that at our department head meeting. It appears we already have a practice or a policy, actually, that is being followed by most, all departments. But there is still the debate about a call-in that, particularly in public works. So there's a little more work to be done there. And then my last topic, I know everybody's sighing, parking committee. Is it the will of this council to re-engage the parking committee? If it is, then I guess Joe and I will get re-involved. Joe, what's your view?
I think we should, and at some point engage the public and have perhaps not a hearing, but a question and answer session, asking people how they want to see things going forward.
Ask them to come in and speak to us. But yeah. Before we would do that, I would think we'd want to get the parking committee together to take a look at it, plan it, and get it done correctly.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good move.
Okay. We'll get started on that. John, what's your opinion?
I support that continuing to look at parking.
All right, so we're going to we'll get that going again. Frankly, I've even forgotten all the names of the people who were on it. There were like five or six of us, but I'm not sure who the others are at this point.
I'm sure we can find an email.
We'll find it. Okay, so we'll get that going. That's the end of my items. Gentlemen, you have any commissioner items? John?
I do not.
Nope. I have one.
Yes.
Safety training has started last week. We're doing 2 or 3 days a month. Amy will actually be here a week or two earlier because of some holidays and other travel she was doing. So it'll be the week of the election, that first week. They're meeting in the fire department using that training room with employees. And they're doing everything right now that basically relates to all of the employees. So, and then we'll get into specific departmental training and things. So it's going quite well.
Okay, good. All right, if there are no other items, I would like to entertain
Do we need a closed session? No.
I don't believe we do need a closed session.
Okay. Well, I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh.